Studd declared that God never was a chocolate manufacturer and never will be. God's men are always heroes. And in Scripture, you can trace their giant foot tracks down the sands of time. We'll see that this evening. But in the verses that we've read together, we're reminded about who we are as the body of Christ, who we are as part of the army of God, soldiers and Christians who've been saved by grace. And therefore, it is our duty to hold high the banner of the cross, to stand for King Jesus against the tide of sin in this world. Our conversion was our enlistment into the army of Christ, to stand for him and to fight for him.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Welcome to our program today, and the song was If God Had Not Been On Our Side. And now we come to our message, Chocolate Soldiers. May the Lord bless his word to your heart.
The famous missionary C.T. Studd once penned a booklet that was entitled The Chocolate Soldier, or Heroism, the Lost Chord of Christianity. He said in that booklet that every true soldier is a hero. A soldier without heroism is a chocolate soldier who has not been stirred to scorn and mirth at the very thought of a chocolate soldier. He speaks of the Christian then, and every true Christian is a soldier of Christ, braver than the bravest, scorning the soft seductions of peace and her oft-repeated warnings against hardship, disease, danger, and death, whom he counts among his bosom friends. Every true Christian is a soldier of Christ. And that is something that as the Church of Christ, we need to remember. And we need to understand that we have been called, that we have been converted, that we have been redeemed into the army of Christ. And now as we consider that, the army of Christ is not an army as we would deem an army by the terms of this world. We do not have a uniform. We do not come in carrying the weaponry of this world. It is a spiritual army, and we are spiritual soldiers with the spiritual sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And every Christian is saved to be a member of that army of Christ. And you cannot be a true soldier of Christ if you've never repented of sin. And that brings us to the definition of what it is to be a soldier of Christ. One who has been redeemed, one who has been saved. And why do we need to be redeemed? Why do we need to be saved? Because of our sin. The Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death, but it points us to something greater by which we can be saved. That the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to be a soldier of Christ, we must be saved by Christ. We must be redeemed by Christ. Our lives must be changed by the power of God. Tonight, are you a Christian? Are you a true soldier of Christ because you know that new birth? We have considered John's Gospel chapter 3 over the past number of Sunday evenings. And as we considered that chapter, we spoke about salvation. Salvation is found all through that chapter. The Savior speaks about everlasting life. He speaks about the need to be born again, the need to be regenerated, the new birth. And those things need to be the experience of the true Christian soldier, because he must be one who is born again, one who has been changed and regenerated and experienced the new birth and knows that one day there will be life everlasting. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was lifted up to die, that all men could see that there is a way of salvation. And of course, when we think of the gospel of Christ is that great message that must be believed. And we, as those who are saved and those who are soldiers, that message of the gospel is the great message by which we charge to war, the great message that we fight for, the great message that we seek to spread across this world. And so the true Christian is a soldier of Christ. But the otherwise Christian, C.T. Studd says, is a chocolate Christian. And in his booklet, he speaks rather humorously of this particular thought and mocks and scorns the one who is a chocolate Christian. And you might think, well, a chocolate Christian is a good thing. It's sweet and it's tasty and we like chocolate. So therefore, a chocolate Christian or a chocolate soldier must be something that is good. If downstairs after the meeting tonight, we had rows and rows of real chocolate soldiers to eat and to share amongst us, I don't think those who like chocolate would be complaining very much. But when we consider what C.T. Studd is saying, he says that the chocolate Christian dissolves in water. He melts at the smell of fire. He says, sweeties are they, bonbons, lollipops, living their life in a glass dish or in a cardboard box, each clad in his soft clothing, a little frilled white paper to preserve his dear little delicate constitution. And the book that he penned, A Chocolate Soldier, is an interesting little booklet that has the purpose of stirring the Christian to take the Word of God seriously and therefore to take Christ seriously, and to take service for Christ seriously, and living for the Lord, and taking the gospel and the great message of that seriously. The whole point of his book is to emphasize that the believer who has been saved by God's grace is to be a hero of the faith, like in Hebrews chapter 11, and not to be a chocolate soldier. And why does he use this term, chocolate soldier? In the summer, have you ever bought a bar of chocolate, left it in the heat of the car? When I worked for Canada Post, I took a thermometer and I put it in the back of my truck. I thought it would be very interesting to see what the working conditions were like. And it was about 30-something degrees outside, and it was nearly 50 degrees inside the metal truck. And I didn't have any chocolate, but it would have melted. Any water I had, not in the flask, certainly heated up very, very quickly. And it was not that nice to drink. We know what it's like, the heat. And we have a bar of chocolate. We leave it in the car. What happens? We return, and the chocolate has melted. It's a liquid. It could not withstand the heat. And the chocolate soldier, Stud is saying, is one who cannot withstand the heat. And once the going gets tough, they melt. How many are chocolate soldiers when it comes to standing for Christ? When it comes to serving the Savior? Chocolate soldiers who find themselves in chocolate churches that are not prepared to take the heat and cannot take the heat in serving the Savior. Serving the Savior. He speaks about some lines of the favorite hymns of the chocolate soldier. I must be carried to the skies on a flowery bed of ease. Let others fight to win the prize or sail through bloody seas. Mark time, Christian heroes. Never go to war. Stop and mind the babies playing on the floor. Wash and dress and feed them 40 times a week till they're roly-poly puddings, so to speak. Round and round the nursery, he said, let us ambulate. Sugar and spice and all that's nice must be on our slate. And so you see, he uses humor. And he mocks those who are not prepared to stand upon the profession of faith they've made to love and to live and serve their Savior. He said about one white-haired lady, God never meant me to be a jellyfish. And he said that she wasn't. She wasn't. Stud declared that God never was a chocolate manufacturer and never will be. God's men are always heroes. And in Scripture, you can trace their giant foot tracks down the sands of time. We'll see that this evening. But in the verses that we've read together, we're reminded about who we are as the body of Christ, who we are as part of the army of God, soldiers and Christians who've been saved by grace, and therefore it is our duty to hold high the banner of the cross, to stand for King Jesus against the tide of sin in this world. Our conversion was our enlistment into the army of Christ, to stand for him and to fight for him. And is that your duty this evening? Do you believe that that is your duty? To stand for the Savior, to live for him, to serve him. We are not chocolate soldiers. And we ought not to be chocolate soldiers when it comes to performing our duties for the cause of Christ. And so as we commence our thoughts this evening, what is your relationship to Christ? How deep is your love for him? How desirous, dear believer, are you to serve him and glorify him in all that you do? How deep is your love for him? Maybe you're not a true soldier of Christ. Maybe you're not even a chocolate soldier. Maybe you're not even a soldier at all because you've never turned from sin and trusted the Lamb of God. Oh, that you would turn tonight. Take that step by the grace and working of Christ within your heart, that you would be a soldier for him, and a soldier that is passionate, a soldier that is zealous. You see, as the people of God, we ought to have zeal, and we ought to have passion, and we ought to have that love for our Savior and for his cause. And so tonight, as we said, we're going to jump around a few passages, looking at the negative side of the positives that we see in the Word of God. And the title this evening then is Chocolate Soldiers. Chocolate Soldiers. And firstly, I want you to see that in taking this theme from C.T. Studd, and we see that the chocolate soldier forsakes his duty in esteeming Christ. The chocolate soldier forsakes his duty in esteeming Christ. The one who says they belong to Christ, but they melt facing the greatness of their responsibility to serve him and to live for him. They melt and they forsake their duty in esteeming the Savior. I want you to turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and the verse 15. And there the Savior says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If ye love me, if Christ is esteemed within your life, you'll not forsake him. You'll love him. You'll keep his commandments. And the simple expression of esteeming Christ is having a love for him. And in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 11, verse 13, we see, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." There was this command then, to love the Lord. And there can be several external signs that someone may be a Christian. They may have a symbol on their clothing. They may have a bumper sticker on their vehicle. They may unashamedly carry a Bible. I remember knocking a door one time when I was in outreach in an area of Belfast in Northern Ireland. And we were doing outreach for a gospel mission that we were doing as Bible college students. And I knocked this door, and the door opened, and this lady had a child in her arms, and I looked beyond her because the very first thing I saw was the bookcase behind her, and some of the titles stood out. And one of the sets of books was the works of Jonathan Edwards, and there were other works and books there that I had myself and recognized and had read. And I began to talk to this lady. She didn't say very much. I said, "You know, are you a Christian? I see the books behind you." And they said that they belonged to her son-in-law. And she didn't say very much about the mission or anything like that. And so I left. And later on, several years later, and I knew, well, this was a Christian home. Whoever lived there, they were a Christian. They were reading good literature, reading good sermons. And I wondered who they were. And I assisted in one of our churches during my final year in Northern Ireland, and I met this individual who said he used to live in this particular area. And he liked good literature, and it turned out that this individual, who I'm now good friends with, was the person who owned that home and owned those books that I had knocked that door off many, many years ago. And so the door was opened. And to me, it was very clear there's something standing out here. Even the books implied there was a Christian that lived in this particular home. There may be those who carry a Bible, those who never miss a service at their church. And there are signs and external evidences that one can be a child of God and one can be saved. But there's a great evidence, one that cannot be faked, one that cannot be used to deceive. And it is the internal evidence found within the heart. The Lord sees the heart, and the Lord sees your heart. He sees whether it is a heart that is dark with sin, a heart that loves the things of this world, a heart that desires the sin of this world, or he sees it's a heart that loves him, a heart that has been cleansed by the Savior. That internal evidence is one that we cannot fake, that we cannot engineer ourselves. And it is a clear sign within our hearts, and only the Lord sees it, that we love him. And of course, as we esteem the Savior, we love him. We love him. What does this word esteem mean then? They forsake their duty in esteeming Christ. In Job 36, verse 19, it said of God, "Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength." In Luke 16, the Savior says, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." And the word esteem has that implication of placing value upon something. But moving into the New Testament and into the book of Hebrews, we see regarding Moses that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And that Greek word that is translated here, esteeming, in Hebrews 11, it means to account or judge. Moses accounted. He made a judgment within his heart that the reproach of Christ was greater riches than all of those real treasures found in Egypt. The English word esteem refers to a respect or admiration. And when we think of the chocolate soldier, they forsake their duty in esteeming Christ. Christ is not valued. He's not judged the way he ought to be. He's not respected or admired or loved, as we see in John 14, the way that he ought to be. The true soldier of Christ will always have a thankfulness and love in esteeming their blessed Savior. The chocolate soldier, what does he have? It's a light esteem. It can be easily scratched away. It's not something that is lasting and something that is sure. We can think in John 20 of Peter, who was challenged by the Lord, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" And there we see Peter's fervor and his love for Christ is assessed in that question. And he's challenged by the Savior after his sin of denial, "Do you love me?" And if the same question that came to Peter by the lips of Christ came to you or I tonight, what would our answer be? "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I love thee more than all these things in life." As Peter was at the side of the sea shore, as the fish and his boat and the nets and that employment, did he love Christ more than those things? And do you love Christ more than the things of this world? Do you love Christ above all else? The chocolate soldier forsakes the Savior. He forsakes his duty in esteeming Christ. He forsakes his duty in loving Christ. We have there those in the church at Ephesus, they served the Savior. But the Savior knew in Revelation 2 that they had left their first love. Their love was not what it ought to have been. Dear believer tonight, what if you? What if your love for Christ? What if your love for the Lamb of God who died upon the cross of Calvary? Can it be said of you that you've forsaken your duty in esteeming Christ? That Christ has been set aside, that he's not first in your life as he ought to be? The Savior said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Keep them, obey them, live for them, glorify him in keeping his commandments. And you see, love is about more than words. It's about actions. It's about actions. We could say that we love. And we could say that we love our spouse, or we love our children, or we love one of our friends as a friend and as a help in our lives. But yet, they often look at our actions. So easy to say, "I love you," but what about the actions? So easy for many in this world to say to someone, "I love you," and then their actions and their sins point to the fact that they don't really love at all. Their attention is elsewhere. Their desires and lusts are all over the place. Do we truly esteem him?
Our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from John chapter 18, verse 8. Jesus said unto them, If ye seek me, let these go their way. Mark my soul, the care which Jesus manifested even in his hour of trial towards the sheep of his hand. The ruling passion is strong in death. He resigns himself to the enemy, but he interposes a word of power to set his disciples free. As to himself, like a sheep before her shearers, he is dumb and opened not his mouth, but for his disciples' sake he speaks with almighty energy. Herein is love, constant, self-forgetting, faithful love. But is there not far more here than is to be found upon the surface? Have we not the very soul and spirit of the atonement in these words? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep and pleads that they must therefore go free. The surety is bound, and justice demands that those for whom he stands a substitute should go their way. In the midst of Egypt's bondage, that voice rings as a word of power. Let these go their way. Out of slavery of sin and Satan, the redeemed must come. In every cell of the dungeons of despair, the sound is echoed. Let these go their way. And forth come despondency and much afraid. Satan hears the well-known voice and lifts his foot from the neck of the fallen, and death hears it, and grave opens her gates to let the dead arise. Their way is one of progress, holiness, triumph, glory, and none shall dare to stay them in it. No lion shall be on their way, neither shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. The hind of the morning has drawn the cruel hunters upon himself, and now the most timid roes and hinds of the field may graze at perfect peace among the lilies of his loves. The thundercloud has burst over the cross of Calvary, and the pilgrims of Zion shall never be smitten by the bolts of vengeance. Come, my heart, rejoice in the immunity which thy Redeemer has secured thee, and bless his name all the day and every day. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for joining us today as we have heard the Word of God. We trust that it has been a blessing to your soul, and we trust that the Lord would indeed use his Word to bring you to the Saviour, to edify and build up your soul in the faith. If we can be of help to you, do not hesitate to get in touch. The details will follow in the closing announcement. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.